Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen, when it rose, went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. As we remain standing, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, our Lord Jesus. And we pray that as we see him and seek him this morning, that we might be filled with joy just as the wise men were. May we seek and find Jesus as he is, Lord and Savior of all. We pray this for the glory of your name. Amen. Please be seated. So we're starting a new series of sermons this morning with the somewhat enigmatic title, Faithless. So that's the word faith with less in the parentheses. It's an attempt to capture in a single word two possible responses to the person of Jesus. Now, of course, one's initial reaction to Jesus can range anywhere from curiosity to cynicism. But at the end of the day, the Gospels, they confront us with a question and they leave us with a choice. The question is this man who he claims to be? And the choice is to put our faith in him or not. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at stories in the Gospels where the main characters make different decisions. Some choose to put their faith in Jesus, others choose to reject, ignore, or even attempt to destroy him. We're going to consider what these studies in contrast teach us about the nature of the gospel, the power of grace, the murky depths of the human heart, and ultimately, what it means to live a life filled with faith. So we begin this morning on this, the first Sunday of Epiphany, by looking at one of the most famous stories in the Gospel of Matthew, and that's the story of the wise men. You all know it. And we call it the story of the wise men, but in truth, it is just as much a story about Herod as it is about these mysterious astronomers from far away. It's a story about two very different reactions to the news that a king has been born in Bethlehem. Matthew places it at the beginning of his gospel as a kind of cipher, as a way of setting before us two possible reactions to the story of Jesus that he is going to tell. We can either reject him or we can worship him. We can come to him in faith or we can turn away faithless. You can find our passage on page 807 in those red Bibles, and I hope you'll turn there with me. We are going to make our way through this passage, through this story, by breaking it down into three different scenes. These are first impressions, scene one, investigation, scene two, and response, scene three. And what we're going to do is we're going to consider the contrast between Herod and the wise man in each of these scenes. And then at the end, we'll take some time to reflect on what this has to do with us. So Matthew 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So the Greek word that we translate wise men is the word magi. It's actually a Persian loan word that has crept into the Greek language, and it refers to a special class of men who functioned as counselors to royalty. Although it's impossible for us to know for sure, these men were most likely important and influential figures. They were probably astronomer priests who served in the king's cabinet in the Parthian Empire, many hundreds and hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem. What we do know for certain is that they were not Jewish. They weren't Jewish. They knew the Jewish people. And most likely, they knew some of the Jewish scriptures, but that was it. The Magi knew of the God of the Jews, but they did not know him, and they certainly didn't worship him. When a strange star appeared in the western sky over Judea, the Magi took it as a sign, for some reason, that a king had been born. They quickly gathered their things, including gifts of great value, and they made their way across the deserts of Arabia, through the great rift valley of the River Jordan, and then up into Jerusalem. Now, they would have expected to find a city decked out in celebration at the birth of a new king. What they found was the humdrum of ordinary existence and Herod sitting happily in his palace. Well, their presence would soon disturb his peace. The wise men were granted an audience with King Herod, and when they revealed the purpose of their visit, he was disturbed to hear news that a king had been born. After all, he was the king, and any other so-called king would be a threat to his throne. So Herod, along with his whole court, was troubled by this news. Now, for hundreds of years, the Jewish people had awaited the birth of a savior king, a king sent from God who would save his people from foreign rule and establish their kingdom as a blessing to the world. This Messiah was the great hope of God's people. Well, news that a king had been born and signs in the sky seen far away, they should have caused the Jews of Jerusalem to just burst with excitement. But they, along with Herod, were only troubled because a new king, no matter who he was going to be a threat to the comfortable status quo of those who were in power. The contrast between Herod's first impression of the news that a king had been born and that of the wise men is stark, and it's instructive. The wise men are curious. They have seen something in the sky that they cannot explain, and they're hungry to find out what it means. Herod, by contrast, is suspicious. He feels threatened. He greets the news of Jesus' birth by immediately considering what it might cost him. That's first impressions. First impressions give way quickly to investigation, and that's our second scene. And it unfolds in the following way, verse 4. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, Herod inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." So neither Herod nor the wise men know the Jewish scriptures all that well. They are aware, however, that the scriptures speak of a great king who will one day rule over Israel. They just don't know when or where he will come from. So Herod summons the chief priests and the scribes to tell them. And the answer from the book of the prophet Micah is Bethlehem, a tiny town just a few miles away in the hill country south of Jerusalem. So Herod sends the wise men to investigate further, asking only that they return to share the king's location so that he too can worship him. Now Herod's the Jewish king. He's the Jewish king. He should know the Jewish scriptures. In fact, it's one of his responsibilities as king. The problem is he doesn't. The wise men don't know them either. But that's no surprise, really. What is a surprise is that both Herod and the wise men end up turning to the scriptures for help here. It's surprising because Herod clearly doesn't value them. If he did, he would have known what they said. And it's surprising that the wise men would treat them as an authority when they have their own sacred writings, and what they've learned so far has been in the stars. Nonetheless, both turn to scripture for an explanation. But what they do with scripture's testimony is quite different. The wise men go eagerly on their way to find out more in Bethlehem, while Herod is content to treat them as errand boys. Now, Bethlehem is just over 5 miles from Jerusalem. It is so close. It makes no sense that Herod wouldn't go himself or send his own people, but he doesn't. He lets others do the work for him. Either he's too afraid of what he might find, or he's too sure of himself to worry about it. So the wise men leave and Herod stays. The former go looking for Jesus for themselves. The latter is content to let others tell him what they find. The wise men take a deeper look. Herod stands back and keeps his distance. First impressions give way to investigation, and they lead finally to a response. And that's our third and final scene, verse 9. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So by the time they left Jerusalem to go to Bethlehem, the wise men must have been so confused. Think about this. They had seen a miracle in the skies and come to celebrate the birth of a king. But when they arrived and no one knew what they were talking about, they must have begun to doubt their own eyes. It is not until they are back on the road heading to Bethlehem that they see the star again and they're overcome with joy. They weren't crazy after all. Something really had happened. And then when they finally saw the child for themselves, he was even more than they had expected. Matthew tells us that they fell on their faces and worshiped him. This is no mere pain of honor. This is fall down on your face worship. They then offered him gifts of great value. And then they were warned miraculously in a dream not to return to Herod because of what he would do to the child. And so they snuck out of the country by another way, putting their own lives at risk, facing the wrath of Herod and his armies. Something happened to them in Bethlehem. Something happened to them. The wise men had come, most likely as a royal delegation to pay homage to a foreign king. But instead, they dishonored the man who actually sat on the Jewish throne, and they worshiped a child that no one had heard of. And when they did, they were overcome with unspeakable joy. This was not the visit that they had expected. Well, when he found out what had happened, Herod was overcome with unspeakable rage. Verse 13. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for this child to destroy him." In the verses that follow, we learn that Herod, unable to identify the child that he's looking for, kills all of the male children in Bethlehem under 2 years of age. He can't handle the threat. He cannot allow the possibility that there might be another king, a true king. And so he kills from a distance. What do we do with these two different storylines? With these two very different sets of first impressions, investigations, and responses? What does Matthew want to tell us about how to read his gospel and what to do with Jesus? Well, first impressions, they tell us a lot. But isn't it true that they tell us more about our own hearts than the person or thing impressed upon us? The wise men were open-hearted. They were open-hearted. They were willing to travel probably hundreds of miles to greet this newborn king. They were willing to ask for help along the way, unusual with a delegation of men. They were genuinely curious. They wanted to know more, so they came to see him. Herod's heart was hard as a rock. It was surrounded by a great wall of self-protection. He was threatened by Jesus and curious about him only insofar as he might be an impediment to him. Herod refused to go and see him, and he only dealt with him from a safe distance. Imagine there are some of you here this morning who are undecided about Jesus. You may have been around church for some time or have Christian friends, but never really made up your mind about who Jesus is and what he claims to be. Matthew would say to you, come with an open heart and be curious. A lot of people get nervous about Jesus before they've ever met him because they're afraid of what he might demand of them. They're afraid of losing something or being asked to do something or having to believe something that doesn't make sense. And so they stay back. They put up their defenses. They refuse a man they've never met because they're afraid of what he might be like. And you know what they miss out on as a result? They miss out on joy. Don't let fear hold you back. Be curious. Check out Jesus for yourself. It's what the wise men did. And this is where first impressions give way to investigation. For the wise men, what began with a star in the sky continued with careful study of Scripture. The only way they made it to Bethlehem to see Jesus was by actually opening the pages of Scripture. And the same holds true for us. If you want to meet Jesus, you're going to need to read the Bible. Now, you don't have to come to the Bible with any preconceived understanding about it. You don't have to believe that it's inspired or holy or authoritative. When you come to it for the first time, all you have to do is read it and see if it's true. You can start with Matthew's gospel and just keep reading from there. The important thing is that you read and encounter Jesus for yourself. And this is where investigation gives way to response. Herod never encountered Jesus. He simply raged at him from a distance. But by doing this, he clearly responded. He rejected him and all that he stood for. And Herod died just a few years later, the most wealthy, powerful, and miserable man in all of Judea. The wise men, however, they went to Jesus and they responded with worship. But they didn't so much respond to Jesus as they were completely transformed by him. And the main thing we know about their transformation is that it was one of unspeakable joy. A change came over them in his presence that emboldened them to put their lives at risk by disobeying Herod's orders and sneaking out of the country. And we know nothing more about them after this. There are all kinds of traditions, but we have no idea what happens. All we know is that they found Jesus, they experienced joy, and they were utterly transformed. Ultimately, we have to respond to Jesus. We cannot simply let him be there. We have to respond. What he claims and what the Bible claims for him put us in a position to worship him or to reject him, to put our faith in him or not. Now, most of you have already responded in faith. You've known the joy of meeting Jesus. You've been transformed. But you have loved ones who haven't. And here's what I want you to take away from this morning. The first thing is, remember that it is all about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. It is so easy to get sidetracked by discussions about ethics or politics or odd things that don't seem to make sense in the Bible. And people who don't really want to deal with Jesus, who want to keep him at arm's length, they are very happy to be endlessly sidetracked in discussions that might go back to him. Your job is to bring them back again and again and again to Jesus himself. Not to your own faith, not to your political convictions, but to Jesus. The Jesus we find in the Gospels, who is beautiful, mysterious, unpredictable, combative, and completely unique. Second, there is no one so far away from Jesus that he or she cannot be reached by him. This is the second thing I want you to remember. The wise men, who are the heroes of Matthew 2, they are the most unlikely converts of all. They are pagan astronomers from an enemy nation. But God still drew them to his son by sending them a sign that was an invitation to be curious. So pray with confidence. Those of you with loved ones who don't know Jesus, pray with confidence. Ask God to give your loved ones who do not know him the gift of curiosity. And then be ready when they come with questions. Be ready not so much with answers, but with an open Bible and a hungry heart of your own. Here's the lesson for all of us. Whether we responded in faith decades ago or are still trying to figure out what we think, it all comes down to Jesus, who he is, what he claims, how he lives, and ultimately why he dies for us. Come to him with an open heart and let him give you joy upon joy upon joy. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for all of us today that we would be hungry to know more about you. We pray that you would give us a curiosity that leads us into the pages of Scripture where we might encounter you and be transformed and find that joy that the wise men found. We pray this for the honor and glory of your name. Amen.